In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The text for our consideration today is the gospel text that I just read. It's one of those great epiphany texts. It truly does show the divinity of Christ, but that he is the Christ that was promised from the days of Genesis in the beginning to come and set the captive world free from the tyranny of Satan. Today, I want you to play a little part in the sermon. I want you to play the role of the protagonist. And I want you, during this sermon, to answer this question along the way. Because the antagonist in the story is going to say, "We know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth." The antagonist, of course, fully understood who he was. You, as the protagonist, I want you to answer that question elsewhere in the gospel that Jesus asked the disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" Okay, we're going to go down through the text today. Our gospel text begins with verse 31, that Jesus had went to a town in Galilee, to Capernaum, and it was on the Sabbath. We learned from last week's gospel that he regularly went to the synagogue to teach, to proclaim the word of God. There, he taught the people. That was his primary emphasis. That's what he, the Christ, was sent in the world to do, was to teach the people rightly about the kingdom of God, restore them back to the Father who is in heaven, who lost his children in the garden and lost a third of his angelic host in the rebellion of Lucifer. You know the story. I've preached it many times. But the emphasis here was Jesus' regular, a part of his Jewish upbringing. It was within that model that he went and taught. On the Sabbath, he appeared before the Lord, like we do on Sunday, to hear his word, to be convicted, and to learn more and more about the things of God and the gospel. The people recognized immediately that not only that, as he proclaimed the word, but he proclaimed it with authority. There was clearly a distinction between the elders in the congregation that taught on a regular basis and the message that Jesus himself was proclaiming. In this particular synagogue, our text tells us that there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. What is an impure spirit? What is a demon? How did they become unclean? These are some of the questions we need to ask. And how is it that he's in church? He's not out in the red light district or some of the drug-infested areas in our culture and in the homes. How is it that he's in the synagogue? He's in the church. And up to this point, he has not been unsettled by the authority of the Word of God in church. But when Jesus read, when Jesus taught, when Jesus appeared, he cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" And you'll notice the plural. What do you want with us? There wasn't just one demon in the man. There was many. They were unclean spirits. They were a part of that third angelic host that fell with Lucifer in the rebellion. God didn't create them to occupy a human body and possess it. And they were able to occupy the body and control fully the man's physical powers, his mental powers, and his speech. That man must have been in torment in the midst of that congregation. You know that human spirit within him being controlled by that entity. He must have been absolutely oppressed and in turmoil. And yet there was no discernment amongst the leadership in the congregation. He found peace there. And he could do his unholy work in the life of this man. But you'll notice also in his words was his question. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? You see, the demons already understood that the judgment day was coming. That Lucifer's rebellion would one day be fully put down. And unlike man, whose salvation, because God so loved the world, he so loved his creation that he chose to redeem mankind. God, at that fall, could have wiped them all out and started all over again. But he didn't. He loved you. He loved that image that was created after his image and likeness. Adam, male and female. No, he would not. He so loved the world that he chose to come himself, the Christ, to deliver that world. This demon recognized Jesus as the Christ, and he also understood that his day of reckoning was coming. A day of reckoning, the day of the Lord for all the world. And then his great proclamation that the antagonist, remember that protagonist and antagonist? He said these words, I, now he spoke on behalf of all of them. He goes to the singular, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. We want to ask ourselves in this question of this wonderful creation that God created, the heavens and the earth, and all that has been undone now. If the demonic can understand, we know who you are. Protagonists, do you know fully who Jesus is? Do you understand exactly all the promises of God that would be in the Christ and what he accomplished in salvation? Do you really understand who Jesus is? I hope the Word of God impregnates your heart and your mind, that you would have even a greater and elevated understanding that even this unclean demon who feared and trembled at the day of judgment that would come at the hand of the Christ one day, that the gospel would inflame your heart and give you full understanding of what redemption has brought to you. Full reconciliation to God, adoption into his family. You are not just a part of creation, an evolutionary mistake. You have been ordained and created by God in his image and likeness, and through the salvation that comes with the new birth of hearing the gospel of your salvation, God has made you a new creation. He has restored back into you that image and likeness lost in the fall. And to you he has granted adoption as children of God back into the family of God, taking you out of Adam's fallen race and family, and now making you a divine priesthood and a kingdom of royalty in his courts. Jesus said to this demon, "Be quiet. And come out of this man." Then the demon threw the man down on the ground. And he came out, but without injuring him. This is the power of these unclean spirits, again, when they occupy somebody. He had the power to hurt this man, even fatally. But Jesus' command for him to come out constrained him, so he could not fulfill his evil intent. That's the power of God's healing. That's the power that God has over the spiritual realm. And we'll notice that in the Great Commission also, Paul said, these are the signs of an apostle. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Jesus had said in the Great Commission, in fact, in our text today, I was sent to the house of Israel to proclaim the good news. He said to the apostles, as I was sent, I send you. And with the same authority, we see the early apostles, the signs, the wonders, the healing ministries, the casting out of demons as the gospel advanced, going into the Gentile nations that were under the full control of the demonic world. But Jesus' command to come out of him stopped that demon from injuring him. It was then that Jesus left the synagogue and he went to Simon's house. Because this event at the synagogue, what happened there wasn't done yet. When Jesus left there to go to Simon's house, the people had been so amazed at his preaching and the power of his words and the authority that the news about Jesus began to spread throughout the regions of Judea and all Israel. But Jesus left that synagogue that day and he went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever and they asked Jesus to help her. That's prayer. That's nothing more than what prayer is. When we ask God to help us in one particular event, for whatever it may be, that is the very basic prayer 101. Lord, help me. There's something going on in this world. It might even seem supernatural. You've got a sense that you're not in control of this thing. But God wants you to call out to him who is in control of every element. He has all power in heaven and earth in him. And he has also bestowed that authority to his church, because the church truly is the pillar and foundation of truth in the world. It has the power, the life-changing power of the gospel in its midst. So Jesus honored their request, their prayer. He bent over her and he rebuked the fever, and it left her. You know that it just continues. At sunset, while he was still at Simon's place, you'll notice at sunset, they've already been through a full day of preaching and teaching and healing at the synagogue and then at Simon's. Our text tells us at sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on everyone, each one of them, he healed them. Moreover, at this event as well. Now, this was sunset. It's getting dark. Moreover, the demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." There's that antagonist again. They knew who Jesus was. Protagonist, who do you say that Jesus is? And Jesus rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. He was the promised Christ that was to come. Again, Messiah is just the Hebrew term. The Greek term is Christ. But he was the promised one of Genesis 3:15. Then our text, he wouldn't let them tell that. Why didn't he want them to proclaim, even the demons, that he was the Christ, the Messiah? Because he wanted the people to come to that knowledge through the word of God. Even as he told John, "Are you the one or should we expect another?" John the Baptist. And Jesus said, and he quoted right out of Isaiah, "Tell John, the blind receive their sight, the dead are raised. The fulfillments of all what Messiah would be are found in me," Jesus said. And then at daybreak, they went all through the night, Jesus did, and the disciples ministering. But at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. And the people were looking for him. And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. Truly, that is when the power of God manifests. God comes into their lives in a meaningful way. No doubt it brought repentance as they saw the work of God in their life. As they authoritatively heard the word of God in their life, it brought repentance. And they really did not want God to leave them. You can't blame them for that, can you? Right? It was kind of like the Transfiguration Day, which we're heading to. On that very day that Christ was transfigured in all of his glory, the full divinity of who he was shone forth, the event was so overwhelming that Peter, James, and John, who were with him on the mount, said, "This is good. This is really good, Lord. Let's build some huts and stay right here." That's the sentiment these people were experiencing that day. They didn't want God to go out of their presence. They were basking in his glory. But he said to them, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. By now, protagonists, has the text opened up a little bit about Jesus, whom John tells us in his gospel that he was the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was in the beginning with God. That all things were made through him and for him, and without him, Jesus, nothing was made. The very Creator himself was in the midst of his people proclaiming his Word to set the captives free. Has the Word set you free? Has it opened up your understanding of who this Jesus is and the world that he has created and why he is that great warrior that he is? And everything that he has done in his ministry, he has done for you. To those who believe on his name, that as people hear the gospel and learn more about who Jesus is, truly their lives began to magnify the name of the Lord. That's when the glory of the Lord is shining in a people, is when they fully know who he is and they understand the authority of his name. Amen.